Baptist history. And in the early 1500s, many dissenters, that would include many Baptists, took refuge in the Netherlands and kind of hoped to serve God there quietly without persecution. Now, this is about 100 years before another set of Puritans and folks will go to the Netherlands, because the Netherlands would change and become kind of a haven of religious freedom. But in the early 1500s, it was not. But they were getting so much persecution from the countries they lived in, Spain, all over Europe, Spain and England, that they went to the Netherlands in kind of in hopes to just to serve the Lord there quietly. And one author said they might have been able to do this if they had not refused to stop preaching the gospel. And then we go to a man who is the grandson of the king and queen we studied last week, Ferdinand and Isabella. Their grandson, Charles V, would become the emperor of almost all of Europe, every country basically of Europe except for France and England. And he hated true Christianity, and was especially severe towards to Protestants, and especially he singled out Baptists for special vengeance. And so this is the era, or this is the time frame that we're in now. And I want to talk about a pastor by the name of Jus Verbeek, Jus spelled J-O-O-S, and he was a pastor in Antwerp in the Netherlands. And in June of 1561, the Margrave of Antwerp, the Margrave is a governor of sorts of that area, and went out with a great number of people, well-armed with staves and pitchforks, and they apprehended this pastor, who was a minister of God's word and minister to a small flock there in Antwerp. And I'm getting most of my information from a book called Martyr's Mirror, which is kind of a lesser-known Fox's Book of Martyrs, but primarily seems to talk about Anabaptists and Mennonite martyrs, and so much of this is from them, and they have from that book, a very, very good book to read or to reference sometime if you ever, but Martyr's Mirror, it's called. And so Pastor Verbeek, he was thrown in jail, and on the 9th of June, he was allowed to offer his defense. They brought him back out 2 days later after some beating, and he freely confessed his faith and his office as pastor. Of course, the governor and the men there that were on the committee, they ridiculed him for this. But then he was taken back into the dungeon. He was severely tortured. But through it all, one of the things they were trying to get was other names from him, names of other maybe members of his church and other pastors in that area. But God, it says here, God preserved his lips from giving information about anyone else, though he was unmercifully handled by the people in the prison. He was beaten until the blood flowed. He patiently endured it all. He had to endure the rack. He was stretched on the rack twice in 4 days. Just a terrible torture, if you can imagine. But the thing that really bothered him was he lamented later in his writing, we'll see here, that the persecutors had broken his right hand and lamed his right hand in this torture. And that was the hand that he was writing letters to his church members and to his family with. And he greatly lamented that, as we'll see here in just a minute. But having confessed his faith, his baptism, and his biblical doctrine, not being permitted to say anything more, he heard the death sentence pronounced. He turned and spoke to the people that were in the courtroom and standing outside. He said, "Dear fellow citizens, I have lived here 11 years and no one can bring any complaints against me, for I have done wrong to no one, and my life and doctrine agree with the word of God." Someone yelled out, "That's true." And when the constable tried to find out who that was, they couldn't find that person. They were yelling from the crowd. Verbeek went on and he said, "He who delivered Daniel from the lion's den will likewise preserve me, for I suffer not for evil doing, but for the name of the Lord." And another person cried out, another brother in his church actually cried out, "That is true." And others said, "Be valiant, dear brother." And he was cheered as he spoke by many of the people. And then he said this. He said, "Dear fellow citizens, thus must all God's children suffer. The saints of God, the prophets, and many godly men have trodden this path before me." Now, in that time, in this, I guess, in the Netherlands, he was pronounced to death by burning. And what they would do is they would build a small straw hut. And you think this through, and it's of course terrible, but they would build a straw hut. And then they would bind the person up almost in a fetal position, put it in the hut, and then light that straw on fire. And interestingly enough, the reason they did that rather than tying somebody to the stake was because they felt this was maybe a little more humane, because hopefully the straw burning would asphyxiate the person before the flames burned them. But anyway, I don't know what to say about that, but it's, just a terrible death. And it said that when he approached the straw hut, he stood before the door on which he was to present himself a burnt offering. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, "O Heavenly Father, support thy servant in this time of need." The executioner had a rope that he tied in knots, and he wanted to stuff it in his mouth so he couldn't talk anymore, because the one thing that the persecutors and the executioners were terrified of was the testimony that these people gave before they died, and the impact that they would have on the people there. And we even heard a story Thursday night about the impact that the testimony had, even on the person giving the sentence. But something happened. I don't know, some reason that didn't work, but he was not silent, and he was heard to exclaim, "O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And an eyewitness said that the executioner performed his work. He was very nervous. He performed his work with fear and trembling. And when the fire was kindled, Verbeek was heard to say, "O Heavenly Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, O Lord of hosts, who separated me from my mother's womb, be with thy servant in this last distress which I suffer for thy name." And then before he died, he was heard to yell out from that hut, "O Heavenly Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he died. Wonderful man of God, and this is just almost a picture, maybe a representative of the thousands that died this way. But something I wanted to mention, that before he died, when he was in prison, and he wrote a short letter to his wife and his family with his left hand, his right hand being broken, you remember. And he said this to his wife, "I salute you most heartily and all my five children. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Be in behavior as becometh holy women. Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to be chaste, modest, obedient to their husbands, and steadfastly continue to keep the rule according to which you now walk. The Lord qualify you for all good works and what may become your calling. I commend you to the Lord and the word of his calling, and the word of his grace. May he grant us to see each other in eternity." What a wonderful letter. And at the end of the letter, he said, "This is written by Joost Verbeek in the Antwerp prison, where I testified to the will..." where "I testified to the will of Jesus Christ with my left hand, for my right hand was made lame by torture. Salute all my friends and the servants of the Lord." And what a sweet testimony. Really, I think it's great to read these stories and to let that have an impact on us, the testimony of these men and women. Many times the wife, I don't read that in this story, but many times the wife of these men were then apprehended, and they would be usually put in a sack and drown in a lake. And so that was the sentence for a family that followed the Lord. And we thank the Lord this morning for this pastor and his testimony. Thankfully, we have something written down about this testimony of Joost Verbeek. Thank the Lord for him this morning.